Johnny P. I'm on the road at Nova Pro, which is kind of a sister promotion of CWF, so it makes sense that I would come down here and still maintain CWF Road Diaries. I roped in my guest for this week to do the opening spot, Dylan Hales. How do you react to me calling you? This is my thing now. Ready? I'm going to introduce you, not as my good, close, personal, longtime friend. Did I get that right?
Dear, close, personal, longtime friend, but I'll accept it.
One of these days. You're the World Wide West of indie wrestling. How do you react?
Are you calling me a Western supremacist?
No. You don't know World Wide West?
No.
Oh, this is going horribly.
No, it's not. Explain it to me.
We'll talk to Dylan on the podcast this week. All right, everybody. I apologize for any background noise, but we are literally taping in the vet's locker room at the CWF Sportatorium. He put away his phone. Oh, I should put mine on silent, even though there's everybody knows that's an LOL, because why would we get phone calls in the CWF Sportatorium?
Not gonna happen.
There's no service. That voice is one of the busier mans who I poke fun at for always having his phone. He's a pretty old friend of mine at this point. And now he does the things in the wrestles, like I sort of on the periphery do things in the wrestles. We started out as just message board kids, or AOL kids, and now he is the real Dylan Hales. And I wanted to have Dylan on here. You might be saying, well, I've heard of this Dylan Hales, and he loves Southern Graps.
Yeah.
But he is not from CWF Mid-Atlantic, and that is true. But he's a big supporter of it, and more importantly, I wanted to have him on the show, not only because he's become prominent in pushing Southern wrestling, and he is a part of Southern wrestling and getting guys' names out there and getting work, but Dylan is actually the person who got me into CWF Mid-Atlantic. So I thought it was really cool. We're actually taping this during like a live Mystery Science Theater 3000 type viewing of wrestling in the Sportatorium with Stutzy and the workers having mics. And I could not fit it in. But Dylan the other day sent me the match that he sent me in August of 2015.
Yep.
Which was the match that got me into it. And I got like so sentimental about it.
And it's here's the thing. It's not a match that people would probably expect. Like if you were somebody who has followed CWF or sort of has a peripheral understanding of the guys who've come through CWF, I mean, one of those bigger names is actually in the match,
yeah.
But it's not a match that you would think, oh, this is a go-to match.
Yeah. And I love him, but like, yeah, but one of them, his name is Ethan Case, which a lot of people just don't think of. He's a great talent.
Great talent.
Yeah.
Coming down for me, probably this would probably come out after the show happens, but November the 18th, he'll be down for us in Chattanooga for the Scenic City Trios tournament. But Ethan Case, a great talent. It's Ethan Case versus Andrew Everett, and it came about. I mean, like, it was kind of a weird situation because you and I had a conversation. We were sort of talking about how we were jaded wrestling fans in various ways.
Well, we were very frustrated with New Japan had really. Well, I thought at the time it had hit its like peak frenzy.
Yeah.
Not true at all.
Nope.
Misjudged that one.
Next level.
Yeah.
Good credit to them. I mean, they've taken off. But
well, we were. It was the first or second day of G1, and there was a great match with Tanahashi in it, and Tanahashi used to be one of Dylan's punching bags. He hammed up a little bit, you know, knocking him online. That since has now become one of the guys I liked, Brock Lesnar, so be careful what you wish for. but that's neither here nor there. The point is, I made a comment online on Twitter, and I think I tagged Dylan in it and said, does anybody do consistent selling and make it part of a story in a match anymore? It's kind of a rhetorical question. I was just frustrated because Tanahashi had this brilliant first half of a match and then popped up and was like, hey, not only is my leg fine, I'm going to use it for every move. And I'm going to like just like tease those who care. And Dylan sent me Andrew Everett versus Ethan Case from a very early, what I now know to be CWF Worldwide. At the time, I was like, what,
like episode
what is this?
Four, maybe?
It might be eight or something like that. But it's the first.
I think
ten.
It's single digits. Yeah.
It's single. It absolutely is.
Ultra J title match, I believe.
Yes.
And it was a match with stakes, but it's not necessarily a match that would immediately pop to mind in the sort of canon of CWF that I think people think of over the last couple of years. It's just a really solid wrestling match. I thought it was a wrestling match to sort of exemplify that, yes, you can have long-term body part selling in a match, and yes, you can do it while still having sort of consistent and like an exciting wrestling product that doesn't feel dated at the same time. It's like that's one of the things about CWF is it sort of adheres to the Southern wrestling tradition and like the storytelling territorial tradition, but it doesn't run away from the fact that it's a modern product. And I actually think sometimes that gets overlooked when we talk about CWF. I think there's like this way to fetishize it as like, oh, it's still a territory. Well, it is, but it's not like they reject the idea that they're contemporary wrestling. Earlier today during the Q&A, like we were talking, and I kind of pointed out during the Q&A that I thought one of the great ironies of CWF is probably the moment that it blew up the most within the internet culture was when Andrew Everett, wrestling as Chiva Kid at National Pro Wrestling Day, did a double moonsault.
Yeah.
And it's like a weird irony that the promotion that is known as the old school probably got put on the mat for a lot of people when Andrew Everett did two backflips at once.
Well, how did you get into CW? How did you find it?
Oh, wow.
And I want to mesh this in with somewhere where I know you'll probably go, is that we knew Stutzy from message boards for years. Now, I didn't realize I knew Stutzy, and you probably knew him, because I had never had a conversation with him. I thought his name was Stussy, like when we were kids, that cool skater brand. So I was like, oh, that's that Stussy dude. Because I'm one of these people who reads words and then decides like what I think they are.
I do the same thing. All the time.
So I had no idea that this guy, and I think I vaguely remember him being on like PWO or FL Driver and being like, hey, I'm involved with this Fed and blah, 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 blah. Yep. And we're all like, yeah, whatever, man.
It was really Death Valley Driver where I knew Brad from, like where I became privy to him. And it wasn't like we were like constantly talking in private messages and stuff, but we obviously talk on the forums and exchange ideas like everybody else. I mean, at the time, that forum was a large forum. So you're talking about hundreds of, if not possibly even like 1,000 active members at that point. I mean, this was, it, you know, and a lot of
very influential place for a lot of us,
and a lot of for a lot of wrestlers too. I mean, people forget that a lot of wrestlers were actually engaging with that.
Punk, Hero, Jimmy Jacobs. That's like scratching the surface.
Yeah, and so, you know, it was kind of like a depot for both indie wrestlers at a certain level, but also people who were interested in indie wrestling who ended up becoming more involved. You know, Stutzy was already involved because he got involved as like a teenager. I was not involved in anything more than a fan that time. That was a much longer process for me. That really didn't change. I really didn't become more than just a fan until the last couple of years. So I knew Brad from, or Stutzy as most people call him, from the Death Valley Driver board. And I knew that he was involved in some companies in North Carolina. And I knew what CWF was vaguely because I've been, you know, loosely involved in Southern independent wrestling as a fan going back a long time. My first independent wrestling show was in 1988. Mm-hmm. Stan Hansen was on the card, and and Akeem Anastapulo, the extreme Akeem guy from the like reality TV show judge guy, he promoted it, by the way. So that's a weird little history fact for you.
Yeah.
But I was like privy to the idea, and I knew that some guys wrestled in South Carolina, wrestled in North Carolina a lot, and you know, so I knew of the existence of CWF for a long time. And I think, I know I discussed the idea of coming up to a CWF show even before the National Pro Wrestling Day that kind of put him on the map with bigger internet fans. I know for a fact, I bet you if I looked in my private messages at the Death Valley Driver now, there's an exchange that Stutzy and I had maybe, I don't know, 2010 or so. Maybe even before that, I'm not sure, but years ago. About, man, I'd love to come up for a show sometime. Because I knew they were doing good things, and they've gone through sort of various stages where footage would be out at some, you know, we call this era now the worldwide era, and that's obviously where like it's become much more inclusive and I think much more visible to all sorts of people. I wouldn't say that I was on the forefront of viewing CWF, but I was privy to it, and I would sometimes do binge watching of certain guys here and there. When I really felt necessary. Plus, there was a guy who would go to independent shows in Charleston who, I thought he was from Hanahan, but maybe not. He used to work the High Spots table when Caleb Conley would come down a lot to those shows. It was OSCW events in the Charleston area, and he also would always talk about CWF. So I would hear about it from him too. So I like there was a sort of weird, like I had sort of two weird different entry points. Like one was just this random guy I knew who worked the high spots table at local indie shows, and the other of course was Stutzy, which is like the entry point if you're gonna have a CWF entry point. But it wasn't like it was something it wasn't like one of my favorite companies. It wasn't a company I followed religiously. It was just a company I was privy to and I'd seen some stuff from. And then slowly over the course of, you know, I don't know, the last several years, I've become more and more invested as a fan. Really for me, I mean, National Pro Wrestling Day was kind of the turning point in a lot of ways because I was privy to them before that. I'd seen things before that. But that was the point where I was like, oh, why are we not talking about this company that like had a match that stole the show on this event? Like, why is nobody talking? It's 5 hours from where I live. And nobody's talking about this place relative to some other companies that are not bad, but just not, as at least in my opinion, not as good. So,
I've mentioned before you're a big advocate of Southern Graps. What have you seen as far as with CWF, as far as like pushing forward that narrative? You know, for, I hate to use that term because it seems like the scripted thing or this thing that people got together and said, we should just start like a political party. We need to stump for our guys, you know. But what did you see that made you want to make trips? And what have you seen here that's made you think that they were progressing as an entity outside of just the South? Is it a coastal thing or a Southern thing?
First of all, they run episodic television. And that's something that more shows should do and don't. I mean, really the only two indies that I can think of off the top of my head that have any sort of episodic lineage and tradition that they hold to and still sort of adhere and value with an emphasis on their history while also producing consistent TV-style products, whether they're actually on true TV or the internet, I don't really give a damn, that doesn't matter as much anymore. Is CWF and Anarchy out of Cornelia. And really, I kind of see them as like flip sides of the same coin. Cornelia's a little bit of a more, I guess in some ways, a more hard-edged product. You're probably going to see, you might see deathmatch type stuff here and there in Cornelia that you're probably not going to see here. But the emphasis on storytelling is very similar. Actually having good announcers is very similar. You know, Dan Wilson down there. Here we got Brad and Cecil.
Damn, the Dragon's
as good as it gets. So, and having that long lineage you can draw off of, where you can say, we've got guys who've come through here who have done bigger things. You know, both places have that. But being able to have a long lineage, a consistent history of producing good stuff in an episodic format, what it allows you to do is you still get your match. Like, let me give you an example. Eric Royal versus Andrew Everett from last year's Battlecade. I will put that match up against any match that happened in 2016 in terms of crazy pacing, neat spots, like high energy. I'll put it up against any of that. I think it's as good as any match that has that, you know, sort of, but you also get the episodic elements that come with it. You have an understanding. That was kind of a standalone match. It actually did not have the depth of story that a lot of other big CWF matches have, but it did, there was a degree of gravity to it just by virtue of it being on the biggest card of the year this promotion runs, that I feel like a lot of matches that are worked within that style elsewhere don't have. And I think that that's, you know, that's a big part of it. You know, like when we, this year when we, you know, put the Scenic City Invitational together, like myself and my partner Scott Hensley and Josh Massey, I really wanted a CWF guy. And I, like, they didn't really fight me on it. It wasn't like it was like a debate, but you know, I was like, we need to do it. We need to, and the guy I wanted was Eric Royal. And part of the reason why was I knew he could deliver the kind of match we saw there while also being a strong heel, if that's what we needed. And that's 100% what he delivered on those shows. And like, I just feel there's a lot of guys here that have come out of the system or that are still currently in this system who have a better understanding of character and how to utilize their skill sets at a holistic level than you see other places.
Thanks again to my pal Dylan Hales. I undersold Dylan a little bit. Dylan really is influential in Southern Graps. He's a part of the Scenic City Invitational, which runs several shows each year and really is a spotlight for Southern Graps. Dylan is a commentator for SUP Wrestling, and Dylan and his family really do help out a lot of Southern wrestlers get noticed, get booked, and help them in very basic ways that wrestling fans don't always think about. I want to thank Poddington Bear for our theme song. Go to poddingtonbear.com for more information and great music by Poddington Bear. There's just a ton of content there. If you like this podcast and you like CWF Mid-Atlantic, why not look them up on Facebook? Just search CWF Mid-Atlantic. Find CWF Mid-Atlantic on Twitter at CWF Mid-Atlantic. Every week, CWF Worldwide airs on YouTube. It drops Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, a new episode every week. It is the best episodic wrestling television show out there and has been for years. If you like stories, go to CWFWorldwide.com. It takes you right to their YouTube page. Hey, if you want to go to CWF Mid-Atlantic's WrestleMania, so to speak, it's Battlecade. CWF Battlecade is the biggest show of the year for these guys. It's also their anniversary show. Battlecade 18 happens December 30th in Gibsonville, North Carolina. I will be there. You should be too. If you need tickets to that or merchandise, go to CWFTickets.com. We have two feeds that this fine podcast is distributed through. PW Ponderings, we gotta thank them. Go to pwponderings.com or look up their feed on iTunes or check out Andor, actually. What am I saying? You don't have to choose, it's the internet. You could just read 40 sites a day, and you should. Go to Place to Be Nation. That's our other home, that's the original. That's our mothership. PlaceToBeNation.com. Look up their feed on iTunes and Google Play and other podcatchers. That's it for me, guys. I am out of here. Next week, we're going to switch things up. I am not going to do part two of Dylan Hales. We're going to save that for 2 weeks from now. This week, it's going to be Kamikaze Kid, a legend of CWF Mid-Atlantic. And this is both funny and emotional and just very raw. I love Kazi. He's a cool dude. You're going to hear more of Kazi coming in the next few months. Starts next week. Kamikaze Kid, part one. Thanks. See you next week.